Couple announcements. And the word is word. Devar. If you look in your bulletins, how many of you have a bulletin? How many of you know how to read it? If you open it up on the third page, on the right side, there's a, right at the bottom, it says Devar Torah. That means words of Torah. It doesn't mean Nate's going to preach a sermon, or Nate's going to yell at you, but he sometimes does, or Roger's going to yell at you, but he sometimes does, or John's going to yell at you, but he sometimes does, or Denny, he never yells at anybody. But you know, Devar Torah means words of instruction. Okay, and that's what this portion of the service is. So, Devar Torah can also, there's also Devar Adonai, word of the Lord. Adonai is the Hebrew word for Lord, right? So the word of the Lord is Devar, can also be written as Debar, D-A-B-A-R. We write it as D-E-V-A-R, you know. Spelling doesn't count in Hebrew, I guess, when you try to put it into English. It does count when you write it in Hebrew, but not in English, trying to make it sound like Hebrew. It literally, though, means word. It means speaking, it means speech, it means account, or even thing. It could even mean thing. Devar can mean thing. In biblical thinking, a word has substance. God's word certainly does. Devar, in its noun, and it's also a verb, you know, it could be everything, occurs more than 2,500 times in the whole of the Tanakh. For those of you who don't know, the Tanakh is the what we call the Old Testament. The theological word book of the Old Testament, or the Tanakh, notes that in any language, the words which represent the basic verb for speaking and the noun for word are of supreme importance. This is especially true in Hebrew, since the word was involved in the creation of the world. The salvation of the world also, and the eternal order of the universe, all because of the word. Sometimes the Hebrew word devar in the phrase word of the Lord is replaced by another Hebrew word, which is peh, P-E-H. And peh also can mean mouth in the sense of blowing, sending forth speech or spoken word. There is certainly a connection between the word of the Lord and the mouth of the Lord, right? We find the deep connection in Deuteronomy 8, verse 3, where it says, man shall not live by bread alone. I bet you thought that was in Matthew, huh? It's in Deuteronomy. But man lives by every word, every devar that proceeds from the mouth, the peh of the Lord. Thought it was in Matthew, didn't you? An example of a verse where word is peh or mouth is in Numbers 22, verse 18, where Balaam, or some of you say Balaam, in case you didn't know who Balaam was, said to the servants of Balak, who wanted him to curse Israel, he said, though Balak were to give me his house full of silver and gold, I could not go beyond the word, the peh, of the Lord my God to do less or more. Good advice. We all need to cleave to the word of God and never go beyond it, as we sometimes do. What about Adonai? In all instances that we could find, the Hebrew word, which has been translated as Lord, is the sacred tetragrammaton YHVH, or Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, as we say in Hebrew. In the book, This is the Torah, by Alfred Kolach, it says, since Jewish tradition considers Jehovah, with a Y, to be the real name of God, it placed a ban on its use to avoid its being pronounced in vain. And whenever that name appears, it is read as Adonai. To use the more familiar Devar Adonai, all right, or word of the Lord. The first time a word or phrase is used in Holy Scriptures is significant. In the case of the word of the Lord, whoops, we find a wonderful promise. I had too much to drink. Scooters this morning. We find a wonderful promise here in Genesis 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord, Devar Adonai came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Don't be afraid, Abram," or "do not be afraid." It doesn't say don't. "I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. Fear not, God is our shield." Hallelujah. He is our exceedingly great reward, God is. Guess what shields do? They protect. Amen. They are crucial in warfare. While the Brit Chadashah tells us in Ephesians 6:16 that the shield we are to take up is faith, this weapon is a gift from God. Right? He gives us our faith. All we have to do is ask for it. Abba, would you please increase our faith? We need more faith to live a life pleasing to you. Amen. Great prayer. God's word, his Devar Adonai, is also our shield, a promise from 2 Samuel 22, 29 through 31 expresses this beautifully. "For you are my lamp, O Lord. The Lord shall enlighten my darkness, for by you I can run against a troop. By my God I can leap over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him." So throughout the Tanakh, the word of the Lord, the Devar Adonai, came to people. It had come to Jacob when God spoke to him and changed his name to Israel. The prophet Elijah reminded God's people of this on Mount Carmel in 1 Kings 18, verse 31, where it says that Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of tribes of the sons of Jacob to whom the word of the Lord, the Devar Adonai, had come, saying, "Israel shall be your name." The word of the Lord came to Isaiah, came to Jeremiah, came to Ezekiel, and the prophets of Israel, who in turn said to God's people, Isaiah 66:5, "Hear the word of the Lord." Like Isaiah, the other prophets hoped that the people of Israel would respond to the Devar Adonai with respect, love, and obedience, and fear of the Lord. "Hear the word of the Lord, you who tremble at his word." How do we respond to the word of the Lord? We pray that the day does not come when the word of the Lord is rare, as in the days of the prophet Samuel. 1 Samuel 3:1. "Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord, the Devar Adonai, was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation." Okay, so there is a fascinating connection between two Hebrew words, Devar, and the other word is Midbar, which means wilderness. Both come from the same Hebrew root. One, of course, means word, the other wilderness. At first glance, they have nothing in common, but if we dig deeper, we can find some hidden treasure here. The Lord often spoke to his people in the most profound, intimate ways in the Midbar. Midbar can also mean mouth, by the way, which is unusual, but an enlightening connection here. Consider Moses and the burning bush. He was on the backside of a desert. He was in a Midbar when the angel of the Lord spoke to him from the midst of a bush that burned but was not consumed. When Israel came out of Egypt, they went into the wilderness of Shur. It was there that God healed the bitter waters of Marah so that his people could have fresh water to drink. But more importantly, God spoke in the wilderness, and the Devar Adonai was revolutionary. Exodus 15:26 says, "I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." This is a great word if you're in a health-challenging type of wilderness. Yeah, some of us are. Many of you are. And you know you can embrace this word of Adonai. God continued to speak to his people in their wilderness wanderings. Communication is intimacy. He promised to rain bread from heaven and meat, quail, in the evening. The Devar Adonai proved true for the entire 40 years in the wilderness. Those who cling to Adonai during their wilderness wanderings are like the one spoken of in Song of Songs, chapter 8, verse 5. "Who is this coming up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved?" God often leads his people into the wilderness to get her attention so that those people can hear the Devar Adonai. Hosea 2:14, I will allure her, I will bring her into the wilderness and speak comfort to her. We as followers of our Messiah are likewise called to speak comfort to Israel in the wilderness of this world, which is so full of sin and doubt, utter unbelief and hopelessness. Comfort ye, Isaiah 40, verse 1 through 3. Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is entered, that her iniquity is pardoned. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. We see ourselves as that voice crying in the wilderness, don't we? We are the laborers in the harvest field, helping prepare the way of the Lord. And guess what? Yeshua is the way. So the children of Israel were camped before a mountain in the wilderness, mountain of Sinai, when God gave them his Torah, his law, his instructions for living. The revelation on Mount Sinai is celebrated usually during the Feast of Weeks, which is at Shavuot, or we call it Pentecost, some of us. Although the Bible does not say that the Torah was given on that very day, through careful calculation from the time of the Exodus until the day the Israelites arrived at Mount Sinai, it appears that the two dates coincide. Hence, Shavuot, meaning weeks in Hebrew, came to be known as the anniversary of the giving of the Torah. God spoke on Mount Sinai. Although the rabbis have counted 613 commandments, there are 10 that God intended to be the spiritual, moral, and ethical blueprint undergirding the civilized world. Unfortunately, this is no longer the case. The 10 commandments recorded in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5 are called in Hebrew the 10 words, Aseret HaDevarim. Devarim is the plural of Devar. It's also the name of the fifth book of the Torah. We call it Deuteronomy, but it's really Devarim, which means words. In Exodus 34, 27, the Lord said to Moses, write these words, these Devarim, for according to the tenor of these words, I have made a covenant with you and with Israel. And he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. The Aseret HaDevarim. 10 commandments would have been Aseret HaMitzvot. Either way, God wanted his children to hear the Devar Adonai, the word of the Lord, and obey. Some of the most important words ever spoken to mankind were spoken in the wilderness. In the Brit Chadishah, we see John, the immerser, hearing the Devar Adonai in the wilderness. While Ananias and Caiaphas were high priests, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness, Luke 3:2. What was the word? Repent. Prepare the way of the Lord. What about Messiah Yeshua and the Devar Adonai? First of all, he is the Devar Adonai. He is the word of the Lord, made flesh. He is the Memra. Memra is the Aramaic word for word. The traditional rabbis say that the Memra was present with us at creation. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, and verse 14 tells us that this word, this Devar, this Memra became flesh and dwelt among us. The word was God. The word was with God. The word was God, and the word became flesh. The divine word came to earth in the person of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus of Nazareth. Yeshua was very familiar with wilderness, wasn't he? He spoke the Devar Adonai to HaSatan there in Luke 4. Then Yeshua, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. Note, the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, led the Messiah into the wilderness. God often has a plan for us in the wilderness. I hate to tell you this. You got to go to your midbar once in a while. He spoke in the wilderness. Yeshua, God in the flesh, spoke the following words to Satan after fasting for 40 days and being tempted to turn stones into bread. In Luke 4:4, he says, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that comes from God." Wasn't that in Deuteronomy 8:3? Yeah. "Let us live by the Devarim, the words of God. He kisses. His kisses, we get them all in our wilderness wanderings on the way to a promised land." Hallelujah. We're going there. Yeah. And so Isaiah 2:3, "For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." As we prepare our hearts and pray for Israel, we should do that every day. Recall how powerfully the word has gone forth from Zion to touch lives around the world. You know the gospel is everywhere now, just about. You can go anywhere in the world and probably see the gospel. Yeah, we know that. For a fact, we've been getting emails galore from Africa and around Finland. I never even heard of Finland until. And Estonia. Man, we had a guy from Estonia here last week. What kind of place is this? We had a dude from Albania here once. He had the word of the Lord. Yeah. Yeah, Devar Adonai, about separation. It is not about we as believers are separated but we are separated to, you know. We're not separated from, we're separated to. You got to remember that. Holiness is more about what I am for rather than what I'm against. So we are separated to God, separated from the world, I think. A Devar Adonai, let me talk about salt a little bit. Salt in the Bible is a symbol of loyalty, of relationship. Many desert tribes even today put salt in the hands of a couple when they get married. There's a covenant of salt in Numbers 18:19. It is forever a covenant of loyalty and relationships. In Matthew 5:13 and 14, believers in Yeshua are called to be salt and to be light. Light refers to our testimony to pre-believers. Salt refers to our relationship with each other. The inability of believers to get along puts the lights out. We must have salt with one another. Yeshua said in John 13:35, "By this we all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." If you don't love your fellow neighbor as yourself, then you don't have it. You're not his disciple. So I guess I always ask you, how much do you love yourself? Because you can't love your neighbor as yourself unless you love yourself. And I always, when I went through all my crap in my life, first thing I had to learn was I had to love myself. And I had to come out of it, and I had to forgive myself before I could forgive anybody else. I went through all those 12 steps, and it took me a long time just to get that concept into my head, you know, because I was my worst enemy, and still am to some extent. But we can't be light to the unsaved if we aren't salt to one another. You can't witness to another person until you get along with your neighbor. A Devar Adonai, let me talk about fig trees too. A word of the Lord for about fig trees. At the time of Yeshua, according to rabbinic tradition, sitting under a fig tree was the best place to study Torah. How many of you have a fig tree in your backyard? You sit there all day long. Roger does. Why? Tell him why, Roger. The fig tree has a beautiful fragrance, right? And provides abundant shade, doesn't it? Yeah, right. Fig trees were planted next to synagogues. And is still in the practice today, except in Nebraska. When Yeshua said to Nathanael in John 1:48 and 49, Rabbi, "Before Philip called you, you were under the fig tree. I saw you," right? He meant that he saw him studying the Torah probably when he was a child in school. Nathanael's response then is, Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel. And it indicates that Yeshua seeking him under the fig tree was something supernatural. Perhaps he was being asked God to reveal the Messiah to him. Who is the Messiah? Well, by now you should be getting a devar. Are you getting a devar? Are you getting a word from the Lord? Are you? Has God revealed the Messiah to you? Do you know who he is? We call him Yeshua HaMashiach. Many people call him Jesus. If not, if he hasn't given you a word, maybe you need to ask him to give you a word. You know, I'm always here if you want to talk to me about it. Cantor's always here. We have a couple elders. They're always here ready to talk to you about it. If you want to know who Yeshua is. And I hope that you find out. Okay. Thank you. We're going to go on to the Kaddish.